The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When Jesus noticed how the guests chose the place of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited you both may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the gospel of our Lord. So, I'm going to begin with a challenge for you. Today is two separate parables. The gospel text, did you hear it? It's two separate parables. Don't be concerned if you didn't hear that, because this pastor forgot that it was two parables until I was five commentaries in, and then had to go back and look again. So if you look back at the text, or if you remember, that at the beginning, Jesus talks about where the guests choose their place at the table. So that is one parable. Then Jesus says, he also said, this is when Jesus is preparing the next part, Jesus said also to the one who had invited him, and this is the second parable, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they might invite you in return and you would be repaid. Two separate parables in one. But in our minds and in the lectionary, they end up together. Well, what does this mean? A few things, actually. But first, like I said, I'm going to give you a task. I want you to make a list of five people that you would invite to a special party you are giving. Or if instead of a party you would rather think about a good concert you would go to, like your favorite musician is playing and you're going to go to the concert and you can invite five people, your free tickets, woohoo! All right, so think of that. Or if a fine dinner is more your thing, then you don't have to do the dishes, right? Then you get to go for free to, let's say, a steakhouse in downtown Minneapolis, and you get to invite five friends or five of whoever you want. Who would you invite to enjoy that with you? I'm going to give you a moment. You are welcome to write them down if you'd like, so you can remember. We'll come back to this. So if you want to think about it a bit and jot notes down, go ahead. I know this morning's text sticks out to folks more in the where people are seated, first shall be last. It's on that sort of line of reasoning. And 'tis the season for those who are returning to school to think about where they'll be sitting for the lunch hour. If you think that that's something you left behind in middle school or perhaps in high school, it's not. If we're honest with ourselves, we know that there are times in our lives that we have that awkwardness, that we have to walk into a room and choose where we should sit. Will we feel welcome? Will we have people get up and walk away when we sit down? It's always there, and I've had many conversations over the years with senior citizens who live in retirement communities, and they complain about the social pecking order at the dining hall, if you can believe it. It's a thing. Now, I personally remember strategically moving my own half an hour lunch hour around when I worked at a local car dealership, trying to line up when the most favorable people would be present. And by favorable, I mean the people that wouldn't constantly swear and complain about our work setting. Yes, seating order definitely matters. Acceptance matters. In the seating chart that Jesus gives us, it's somewhat vague, and I don't feel like many of us have to deal with this on a daily basis, about taking the place of honor. When we were in Bible study this week, people usually came up with the example of going to a wedding where there's no assigned seating. That was the most common thought of how this would go. So I want to invite you to consider for a moment, the elevated place on an airplane is first class, good work. Or the backstage passes or VIP passes are the elevated places at a concert, right? Or if you want to go with the state fair theme this week, people can jump to the front of the line with no regard for anyone around them, often just because they're not really paying attention to each other. I did a lot of people watching when I was at the state fair this week because I was waiting for my three boys and my husband to see different things or go on rides. And I noticed at several points someone just wandering up to, on one occasion, the Pronto Pup stand and cutting everyone else off and getting served before everyone else just because he wasn't paying attention and didn't realize there was a line. We sin sometimes even though we don't realize we are doing so. And the Pronto Pup guy didn't make the guy go to the back of the line or anything like that. That would have been a really good illustration for this. Didn't happen. Instead, he just got served and life went on. Jesus brings about this topsy-turvy sort of world in which things are not as we would imagine them to be. Now, if we were going with the company line, we could say, this is the gospel message. It is such good news. But at its root, even those of us who are very devout probably think this is a little unsettling. The way we are taught about the way that the world works is not the way God works. After all, if you follow social media, you probably see lots of hustle or hard work hashtags. People constantly lift up their work ethic as a way to get worth and to get where they're supposed to go. But Jesus brings a different order. Jesus brings humility. Again, from that Greek word, humus, soil. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. We are special because we are made in God's image. Out of something as simple as soil, we belong to God, but we also belong to one another. We must hold others who are made in God's image with high regard. And those made in God's image are each and every person, all of humanity. We also must recognize that this new order that Jesus brings is not actually new. This is what was commanded from the beginning. However, some of us let our own human conniving and control get in the way. We start to believe that we know how the system works best, and we know who should be elevated to higher status. If you don't think this is Cross of Glory, I wasn't talking about them specifically. But churches in general, over the years as I've had conversations with people out in the world, we say that all are welcome in the church. But the people I've talked to have said that when they try to go to church, they arrive and worship and feel less than welcome for a variety of reasons. Most often mentioned is, I don't feel like my clothes are good enough. Second, I feel like I've done too many wrong things and that I wouldn't belong. And third, that people would see through me and know that I didn't belong here, that I wasn't holy enough. And so they left or gave up. Now, I'm not putting this on all of you. I'm just offering it up to you as something I've heard and learned over the years. And I share this with you because I know that we are all sinners. None of us is perfect, and this is the place for imperfect people. God gathers us all together, and when we say all are welcome, we are talking about who Jesus welcomes, even tax collectors and sinners. And this is a gift. We are not in control of where we are in our social standing. We are actually not in control of very much. By the grace of God, we live day by day doing our best to follow wherever Jesus leads. And now, knowing that Jesus shook up our placement at the dinner table, we can move to the second part of this text, to the second parable this morning. I'm wondering if each of you could think of two people in your class or your office, in your neighborhood, who never get invited to anything. Write those two names down, alongside those five people you wrote down before. Imagine what it would be like to invite the two people who never get invited to anything, to that party or gathering or concert with those five people you listed previously. The two with the five, how would it change things at your party? Would it mean something to the people you like who you invited? What would it mean to the two people who never receive an invitation to anything? Would it make your gathering more lively? Would it make it kind of awkward? What might God do with that gathering of people in the midst of discomfort and that topsy-turvy nature? Now I want you to imagine further. What if two complete strangers came with you on your outing? They came to your party, arrived at your home, ready to eat dinner. People who think differently from you, that wear different types of clothing, people who are from a different faith background, perhaps, maybe people who make much more money than you do, or maybe make much less, maybe even those who vote differently from you. What would it be like to have them at your party? To go to the concert with them in your VIP group, to have some fine dining with people so different from yourself. What is amazing is that is the table that God sets before us each and every week. God does invite all of these people to the party. Not only did God create each and every one of you, but he invites you back to the table to bless you and to send you to be God's people together. We are all welcome at the table. Tanner and Teresa, Eric and Ethan, Laurel and Lynn. Yeah, I said your name. Azalea and Adam, Ethan and Isaac. We are all, yes, we are dust, and to dust we shall most certainly return. But in the meantime and eternally, we belong to God, and we belong to one another. Not just here in this sanctuary, but out in this great big world that God created, living out our lives in faith and in love. May God bless you on that journey. Alleluia and amen.